Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana, the host of the Art of Wrestling podcast. But right now, you're listening to another wrestling podcast. Not another one, but that's the actual name. Another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. I'm your Mark of Marks. This is episode 189. I'm Credo.
Ladies and gentlemen, social assassin, angry cooter, at your disposal, bitches.
No Minority Mike this week. He is in parts unknown, cooter.
Oh, who cares? Fucking Mike. Oh, God. Love him to death, but, you know, he's so unreliable sometimes.
Well, the things happen, you know. He'll be back next week, so all you Minority fans out there, stay tuned. We still have a lot going on because today on the show we have Ring of Honor superstar Leon St. Giovanni, better known as LSG.
LSG, baby. Hell, fucking yeah, man.
One half of Coast to Coast, joining us in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. We're going to talk a lot of things, Ring of Honor and more.
Yeah, definitely interested to hear what this guy has to say, man. Let's get the show started, baby.
That's right. Cooterman, you know, if people are following us online, on Twitter, we posted some links. We got some new t-shirts going on. Do you want to let everybody know about them?
Oh, God. We got Angry Cooter t-shirts on redbubble.com. The infamous Angry Club parody, Credo, that you've come up with. God damn, Redbubble was awesome, dude.
Yeah. I mean, now, for people that know us, we have a Pro Wrestling Tees site, too, and there's some shirts on there. There's a Minority Mike t-shirt on there, the Blocked Party. There's a Credo All Right shirt. There's a lot of other AWP shirts on there. There's also another Angry Cooter shirt on there. It's Angry 24/7.
I forgot about that one. That's right.
But there's a thing. Some people that don't know there, if you do have an account with Pro Wrestling Tees, if you're a show or a celebrity or wrestler, they won't let us put up any Bullet Club parody shirts, Cooter. So I had to put this one on Redbubble. So it's a shirt that Pro Wrestling Tees wouldn't even allow us to have. So, but it's out there. If you guys follow us on Twitter at @AWrestlingPod, we're gonna put it on our Facebook. Put all the links up there because it's not an easy link. But if you go to Redbubble, search Steve Credo. That's me. If you search my name, you'll be able to find it. But we're gonna put the links on our social media. Support the show. Buy a shirt, right?
I'm telling you, it's so great about this Redbubble. You can buy this shirt in a variety of ways. They have classic t-shirts, tri-blend t-shirts. You can get the lightweight hoodie, sweatshirt, long t-shirt, the pullover hoodie, the unisex t-shirt, men's baseball three-quarter t-shirt, long sleeve t-shirt, men's premium t-shirt. If you want tank tops, zipped hoodies, motherfucking iPhone cases and mugs with my goddamn logo on it, you can go to redbubble.com, baby.
That's right. We'll put out the social media links. Cooter, you have Twitter. You tweet. You tweeted it out so people could find it out there, right?
Yeah, nobody follows me, so nobody cares about me.
Follow Cooter, people. Follow Angry Cooter. I'm at Credo. You're at Angry Cooter, aren't you?
I think that's what it is. It changes. It's usually at Angry Cooter. Sometimes it's at the angry one. I don't fucking know. I change it so many times because nobody
Cooter
follows me anyway, so fuck them.
That's right. You guys can follow us at Credo, at Angry Cooter, and at Minority_Mike. We're all over the place. But guys, t-shirts, it's getting hot out there. You're going to need some new wrestling t-shirts for stuff happening out there. But Cooter, the greatest, or just greatest, Royal Rumble happened not too long ago. 1 week ago.
That's right.
Where were you, baby? Were you watching it at 12 o'clock in the afternoon with everybody?
I was working, you know. I'm a go hard, you know, at work. I was listening to that episode, you know. Very rarely do I listen back to episodes. That shit was just too funny, bro. I mean, that was one of my favorite episodes I think we've ever done. I don't think we can top talking about the greatest Royal Rumble ever. Nah, well, maybe not so great. I couldn't watch it. I watched some highlights. I saw the Roddy Strong chop fest on Daniel Bryan. Holy fuck. That man went hard, bro.
It was a lot of different surprises, but I don't think it was the greatest Royal Rumble. I've seen better, if you will. Some fun things that came out of there, though. Arya Daivari received some death threats due to the way he was portrayed at the Greatest Royal Rumble. To where he even had a tweet to let people know about that it's just an act kind of a thing. So people still out there taking offense to what he's doing out there. But the Daivari brothers made an impact at the Greatest Royal Rumble, definitely pissing off everybody out there.
Oh, God. And who could forget the Titus slide, the greatest gif ever. Is it gif or gif? I don't know how to fucking say it.
I say gif, but it's a gif. It's the same thing, yeah. But yeah.
I mean, oh my God, your whole career to be summed up. Yo, Titus O'Neil, this is like his third gif, I want to say.
Yo, and what's funny is that they actually released a shirt, too, for him. I can't find exactly the words on it, but you guys have seen it. Could you imagine, though, like, out of everything you've done in your career, where it be the primetime plays, to Titus Worldwide, that now, no matter what you do in your career, you will forever be known for this fucking thing. And what's funny is because when it happened live, they didn't have the good camera shot. So, like, all you saw was him, like, disappear from the other side of the ring, and it was like...
Oh, wow. So, you had to show it. They were dicks like that and showed a replay from a different angle?
Yeah, so... You didn't even see that live, and so it was like... You saw him coming down, and then all of a sudden he disappeared. You're like, oh, wait a minute. He just hopped back in the ring. It was odd, but as soon as they saw that backstage, I think I heard Vince McMahon, they said, was laughing his ass off, so they made him play it over and over again. And that's it, man. His career.
I was literally going to say, I guarantee you that was Vince in the back. Oh, that stupid motherfucker. This is me going to get even with him.
The same guy who was suspended.
Daniel Bryan. Yeah, exactly, since he got suspended for the whole... Well, what did he do? I think that was during Daniel Bryan's retirement speech or something.
He grabbed Vince. Yeah, he like grabbed him and wanted to hug him or something. But it was like weird though. He grabbed him like not violently, but just like it was. You know, it wasn't like, oh, here's a hug. Like he literally tried grabbing him, and it was weird. It was awkward. But well, there you go. Now he'll forever be known as the Titus World Slide.
And then when fucking Vince pushed him.
Oh man, you know. Now, you know, it went to show that, you know, a lot of people were talking that there was no divas on the match, no women, no women's wrestling because of, you know, different land, different rules, different whatever, you know, we get it. But what happened is that they
A lot of people didn't get it, Credo. You saw me get into some beefs.
I saw
on the Facebook group over this.
I know some people don't understand that. It's like just because we live in America doesn't mean that the whole world is like America. So it's a lot of different rules out there. But what's funny is that they actually had to make an apology because they showed a promo featuring women like Sasha Banks and whatnot, to where she's, you know, in her Sasha Banks, you know, mock up or, you know, her gear and whatnot. The General Sport Authority, whatever, had to make an apology. I'm not going to read the apology, but they basically had to apologize because of the video that was shown in the arena, basically saying, oh, it's never going to happen again. We apologize for showing this, you know, during whatever. And it was like, in my mind, I'm surprised they even played it there. I thought it was just like, you know, for the network people watching at home, they would show like a preview for Backlash or something.
Oh, it actually played in the arena.
Yeah, so it played in the arena. Wow. So then you have all these guys cheering for it. Meanwhile, all their wives and stuff are covered up, and you know what happens, man. So I guess...
Let me ask you, how do you feel about the fact that there were no women on the card? Let's get into this, man. This is provocative.
You know... It's 50-50 because 50 is like, well, they should be a part of the whole wrestling show because, I mean, seeing women wrestle over there would be good for people out there too, especially the girls out there, the young ladies out there. And the other half of me, they billed it as the greatest Royal Rumble, but it wasn't that great. I mean, they could have added more matches. I mean, I don't know. It's weird how you push Divas Revolution, give Divas a chance, you know, and all that shit. Give the Women's Revolution... And you don't even have any, you know, don't even focus any women on it. But like I said, I know it's a different country and whatnot, so...
Yeah, let me throw my two cents in there, because I got to talk about some of these fuckboys that I had to flame over here, man. Like, let me be honest. I get it. You know, you're an American company with American ideals. But when you're doing business in another country, you kind of got to follow their rules. Not everybody is as... How do I want to say this? I don't want to use the word liberal, but I mean, that's probably the best word for this scenario where, look, not everybody is as open of a society as we are. I get it. Like, it sucks, dude. I would have loved to see, you know, the women make more history on this card. I would have loved to have seen it. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. I have a feeling, though, down the road, you know, if not this year, maybe next year, I think they're going to break ground and they'll be the first women to compete on a card in Saudi Arabia. I think it's going to happen. It's a groundbreaking historic moment like that in Saudi Arabia. At the end of the day, is going to make big money. It's going to make huge money. You got to test the waters, though. You can't just like stick this in their face and say, here it is, you know. And take it or leave it. You know, you can't do that, Credo.
It was kind of an awkward situation, too. Well, not awkward, but I mean, they weren't just like saying, oh, hey, let's go put on a show in Saudi Arabia. Basically, they were paid to be there. So they were paid millions of dollars to be there. So it's kind of like you had to go by their rules in a way. And I even heard, I kid you not, I forget the guy's name, the king or the prince or whatever out there, whatever he is, King Tut. He requested that Yokozuna and the Ultimate Warrior be in the Battle Royal. So, obviously he doesn't know
that they're dead. Yeah, wow.
So I guess there's, from what I read briefly, it's on the internet. You guys can find it out there, Google it. But basically he had a request of some people out there. So, that other guy, I don't know his name too, that other sumo guy who was in the Rumble, famous sumo wrestler, whatever his name is, you know what I'm talking about.
Aki Bono, you're talking about?
Whoever was in the Greatest Rumble, I almost wonder if Vince is like, fuck, get a sumo. They'll never know it's not.
They'll never know the difference. They're stupid, pal.
They'll never know the difference. And so that's why I was like, it was so random because to me, like, I have no idea who this dude is. I mean, maybe he's famous around the world, but I don't watch sumo wrestling, so I have no idea who this guy was. And he was only in the ring for like a minute. You know, it was a really quick appearance, so. Anyway, a lot of weird things happen at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah, man. But I guess bottom line, what we're trying to say is if they're being paid to put on a buffet and they want all vegetarian shit, let's just say it's safe to say we're not putting fucking cheeseburgers on the menu. Sorry, boys. This is what we want. This is what we're paying you for. Don't like it? You know what, to all those fuckboys out there? Turn your fucking TV off and stop watching because we're just pretty much tired of hearing you whine.
Well, there you go. So that happened. And now 1 week later, Cooter, you know, as much as different things happen in the world of wrestling, we usually do a little week that was, but Backlash is happening this weekend, and I know you love talking about another pay-per-view. It's getting right into it.
Oh, fantastic. Yay.
You know, it's funny, but first of all, this is the first... first mixed pay-per-view of Raw and SmackDown that they've had since the whole brand split and whatnot. So we're going to have Raw guys going against some SmackDown guys in a few matches, but then also just have strictly SmackDown and strictly Raw matches. So I think the whole idea behind this was basically not every solo pay-per-view was really pulling in the numbers, if you will. So they really trying to load up these cards with as many names as possible, just to pull in tickets and pull in sales or whatnot. So do you think it's working for this? Because, I mean, Backlash, this is the first pay-per-view. Is anything on here striking you as, wow, a must-see or no? Or is this just another B pay-per-view, Cooter?
You know what? Here's the funny part. I didn't even watch most of Raw. I caught the main event, and I caught the opening segment. Okay? When you look at this card, there are some interesting matchups on here. Like, I can sit down and watch this card without seeing a build up to it. Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe sticks right out to me because Samoa Joe has just been an absolute monster on the mic.
No, for sure. And I'm so happy that they're using him like this. Like, this is exactly where he needs to be. So happy he left TNA Impact a few years ago just to finally be at this moment in time, if you will. But, I mean, Roman Reigns lost twice to Brock Lesnar at Mania and the Greatest Royal Rumble, and now he's going against Samoa Joe. Do you think Samoa Joe's laying down for Reigns this weekend?
He probably will, but I think it would be smart for them to really let Joe go over. I think that's the smart move at this point.
Especially being on a different show, right? Because, I mean, this is the Raw and SmackDown match right now. So
absolutely, and my point is this. You've already jobbed Roman out to Lesnar twice. You're obviously not putting him up against Lesnar again. And if you are, you're fucking stupid, because I think most of the WWE audience is had enough.
That's it. We're done.
It's not just we've had enough of Brock with the title. I get it. We haven't had a major title on Raw on a weekly basis in God knows how long. But it's like, not only do we hate Roman Reigns, we're just tired of it. So I think he needs to lay down. He needs to be repackaged.
He needs something fresh.
Yeah, he needs something fresh, dude. Whatever you had, you it's not working. So let's put Samoa Joe over, because he's very over with the crowd. He's an amazing talent in the ring. He could work circles around Roman Reigns at fucking half speed. It's just disgusting how great of an athlete that Samoa Joe is for his size. And dude, him and AJ Styles in a potential matchup for the title is something that I would love to see at the stage of both of their careers.
No, for sure. So, I mean, I'll tell you what, we're both down for the Samoa Joe win right here. Cause, at this point too, I don't think a loss is even going to hurt Roman. I mean, he's still going to be what he is. He's already accomplished so much in his young career. Let him take another loss, I think, at the end of the day. But, you know, you're interested in that match. I'm definitely interested to see what they're going to do with the AJ Styles Nakamura match, because it's almost like two times now that Nakamura's lost. If he doesn't win this time, it's almost like, what do you do with the guy? I mean, let's go back a little bit, and this guy jobbed to Jinder Mahal clean in a championship match. So
yes, he did.
I think that's paying your dues right there. So, but no, honestly, I mean, he's been great heel. I think a Shinsuke heel is what he needs, is what we need. We don't need, you know, it's definitely his thing this year. He needs to be
there.
Like that.
You go again. You had to make him a heel. He has to be the bad guy, because you can't get over Pearl Harbor, motherfucker.
Pearl Harbor was so long ago.
All right, you're right. You're right. But let me say this. I mean, Nakamura as a heel has been it's been fun to watch. The whole no speak of English thing.
Oh, I love it. I want a shirt.
The whole low blow. The constant low blows. This is the Shinsuke Nakamura that Mike always talked about. Because I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to be one of these guys who's like, oh, Nakamura is so great. He's being misused. You don't know how to use him. I was honestly not familiar with – I've heard the name. Never had seen him work a match. I saw the AJ Styles Intercontinental match prior to him coming. Amazing. And I'm like, wow, this could be interesting. And you know what? His first match with Sami Zayn, incredible. Mm. You know, amazing. He just really fell flat after that, because I think they were just so more worried about getting him over with the crowd.
Yeah.
And that fan interaction with his music and the whole show, the whole artist of him. And it's just like, that's not how he's used best. His best is in the ring. And if they let him work the way he worked in Japan and let him be that edgy character that he was, holy God, this is going to be really good stuff, Credo.
No, for sure. And so this is a no DQ match too. So, I mean, with the whole low blow thing, there's only so many times you get hit in the nuts before it's a no DQ match. So with that being said, do you think anybody could come to Shinsuke's aid? I mean, hey, what about, you know, like a Samoa Joe interfering in this match on behalf of Shinsuke? I'm just throwing that out there, but I mean, no DQ, anything could happen. It's a good way to, you know, get the belt off of AJ in a style that, you know, it wasn't a clean win or whatnot. So it's, I think it's Shinsuke's weekend.
I don't know, man. They seem to be really interested with a Samoa Joe going and chasing after the belt, and AJ especially pointing him out. That's something the WWE would love to do, because we've done the Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura in NXT. I honestly was not really too big a fan of those matches. There was one in particular that was good, but I think I think they had three title matches in NXT. Mm-hmm. One stood out, and I think the other two there might have even been four. How many times did that belt change hands over there? I don't even remember. All I remember was, I think Shinsuke losing the belt back to Joe was like, oh shit. Which way did it go? Somebody lost, and we all assumed that somebody was going to get called up to the main roster, Credo. Mm-hmm. I forget how it went. I don't even want to talk about
it. Well, what's funny, here's some backlash history. 2 years ago, AJ Styles won the WWE Championship. 1 year ago, Jinder Mahal won the WWE Championship. This year, I think it could be Shinsuke.
I don't know, Credo. I don't want to see that. I really don't want to see it.
All right. Well,
Shinsuke is the kind of guy right now who doesn't need the title.
All right.
He doesn't. He's got so much heat on him. He doesn't need it. You know, I love what Jake Roberts used to say. If you don't need the title, don't get it. I mean, it would be who doesn't want to be champion? I get it. But like, if you don't need it. And you're over, or you got that heat on you as a heat. You don't really. What's the point?
Yeah, I hear you. It's almost like, you know, not everybody needs to win a trophy. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you lose. It's better off that way. So
yeah, he's gonna go after Braun Strowman's greatest Royal Rumble title. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here.
Now,
that big. Let's talk about that. Did you like the belt, Credo? Did you like it? The fact that it was green. Did the fact that it was green bother you?
What exactly was it? Was it just a trophy, or does it just mean you're the Royal Rumble champion? I'm surprised he didn't even walk around with it. I guess, you know, it's just on his wall now, so, eh. Well, with Backlash, though, I mean, those two matches are probably the best things I want to see this weekend, but I am kind of interested to see what they're going to do with Daniel Bryan and Big Cass, because these two guys, well, kind of returned at the same time. Big Cass has been on the shelf for a few months now, Daniel Bryan a few years, but still, I mean, I didn't think with Big Cass returning they'd put him in a program with Daniel Bryan, so
I didn't see that coming either.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's good for Big Cass. It's definitely a high-profile match for him. For Daniel Bryan, I mean, just, you know, I guess somebody he can start getting over, I guess, the way they want him to get over. So are you interested in this kind of a matchup, and who wins at the end of the day?
I don't know. Do we give Big Cass a bit of a rub here, you know? I'm going to say this. I shit on Big Cass when he was on Raw prior with him versus Enzo. I thought his promos were the shits. The crowd hated him. And they hated him for the wrong reason, not because he had heat, you know what I mean? Kaz, his promos this week and last week, because I did watch SmackDown. Didn't watch Raw, because I don't have to watch Raw. You know what I'm saying? SmackDown, my God, is so much a better show. Anyway, Kaz's promos were fucking awesome. He's walking with like a chip on his shoulder, like a smirk on his face, like fuck you, I'm the 7-footer, like eat a dick, like it's like it's cool, like because like who the fuck, like to the point where like the Miz is rubbing his chin, like, oh, this is some good shit, like good for you, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, granted, that's probably in his script too, but like he helped sell it to the fact that I was like, whoa, this is kind of edgy.
No,
like,
sure.
Good for him, man. And this week, the crowd in Montreal, like, literally tried to shit on him. And he just spoke all the way through it. Cut right through them. Whereas on his run in Raw, you know, when they were fucking booing, it was fucking getting to him. He got through that promo, and the fucking crowd shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Now, do you think, I mean, because Cass had Enzo for forever, and then they tried breaking them up for a little bit, and then we know what happens. And then literally the day they're going to break him up or whatnot, he got injured on Raw, and then he's been out ever since. Do you think we have some kind of dusty finish with this match to where maybe Cass gets a partner?
What is it with you and the dusty finish all of a sudden? No, you know what? That's not even you. That's my other boy, Mike. He was cracking jokes earlier about fucking a dusty finish. I'm like, enough with the dusty finish. Everybody in this. That's one of those words that's become so taboo. Like, dusty finish is like the same to me as X-Pac heat. Like, fuck off the X-Pac heat already, too. Like, seriously.
See, ladies and gentlemen, all I have to do is get that spoon in the pot and just stir it just a little bit to get them fired
up. Asshole. Fuck off.
Well, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
Who's winning?
I'm happy either way because I think. It all depends.
I think it hurts anybody. Like, yeah, I mean,
it doesn't hurt anybody. Daniel Bryan's always going to be Daniel Bryan. And I think even if Big Cass loses, you know what?
He can still look strong, you know, still look dominant.
He can find a way to keep his heat, man. Like, good for him. But, you know, if he's the drizzling shits in this match,
yep.
like I'm going to really feel like an asshole after this episode. Like, this match sucks because of Kaz. Mm. But I don't know. This is his do or die. Like, you had two good promos. We're putting you up against the top guy. Show us what you got, kid. This is your fucking – this is your brass ring. Grab it, motherfucker. Because if you don't grab that brass ring, it's going to be like whatchamacallit, American Ninja Warrior. You're going to fall right in that water, motherfucker, and you might as well be a bodyguard for Enzo Amore doing shitty-ass fucking rap concert somewhere, whatever the fuck he's doing.
Well, there you go. You know, we're going to talk about the Universal Championship in a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, how it's being used. But a guy who probably should be the Raw's main champion, Seth Rollins, is the Intercontinental Champion, and he's fighting The Miz, so this is another Raw versus SmackDown match. I mean, for this, it's almost predictable to where they're not putting the IC Championship on SmackDown, because the match we're going to talk about in a few minutes, Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, are both SmackDown guys. So no belt is changing hands to Raw, so I figure this is the obvious one where Seth Rollins is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, but you could always say, hey, you know, if you win the Intercontinental title, you're going to Raw. And loser goes to SmackDown. I mean, that hasn't been said, but I remember them doing something similar to that. Well, they did that with the Bar at the greatest Royal Rumble pay-per-view. If the Bar won the tag champions, you know, Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy were going to get sent over to fucking SmackDown, which might not have been a bad thing, but lo and behold, here we are. I mean, they should have at least mentioned a possible stipulation like that. Because, again, you're right. It just looks like, okay, this is right in the bag for Seth Rollins. It's all good. You know what I mean? But, you know, he's had some incredible matches, man.
Workhorse.
I saw the highlights. Yeah, I'm telling you. I've seen the highlights from the ladder match. And that match with fucking Finn Balor on Monday night. Holy fuck. These two got great chemistry.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's Seth Rollins, I think. There's no really – I don't see Miz, you know, winning it again. And if he does, it's not going to happen until – I don't know. He's on SmackDown for
the foreseeable
future.
Let me talk about how shitty now the rest of this card is.
I know.
let me just run through this real quick. Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. Boring. All right. Moving on. Carmella versus Charlotte Flair. Only somewhat intriguing because they didn't really have a singles match. You know, it was just
a cash-in, yeah.
Blindsided cash-in. So that's kind of interesting. Are we keeping the belt on Carmella? Are we going to let her have a run? Or is there going to be probably some interference from the iconic duo, which I've absolutely loved.
Yeah.
They're such annoying bitches.
They play the roles good, yeah.
They play their roles very good. The crowd just hates them. And like, I love when a crowd hates people for the right reason, you know? All right, moving along. Let's talk Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. Okay, we're done.
that's it.
Like, all right, that's fantastic, right? Because I want to see Randy Orton in the ring as much as I want to see a hemorrhoid on my asshole. Fantastic. All right, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Yes, can we stack the deck against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn anymore? We got fucking two jacked up motherfuckers like Braun, who's going to punch somebody's head off. And Bobby Lashley, you know, Mr. Botchamania himself, Bobby Lashley, I might add. Holy fuck. Let's look at his Botchamania highlight reel from the greatest Royal Rumble. And you know what? It might be possible for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to sneak out a win here if they, you know, catch Bobby sleeping somehow. That's probably what's going to happen, right?
Well, I hear you. You did run through these really quick. Let me give my two cents on some of them, because I agree with you on most of them. Like the Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, it's almost like, why? We don't really need it, because Nia is going to probably hold on to it for a little bit just because. So they don't have no idea who's going to beat her just yet. Carmella versus Charlotte Flair is interesting. Like you said, the cash-in is the only time they really went against each other. So, but I think they're kind of putting Carmella with the Iconics, kind of making that little bit of a faction. We'll see what happens. And I think they're going to interfere in that to keep Carmella champion just for a little bit. I mean, at the end, it's how many times does Charlotte Flair need to hold the women's championship? It's like, let her not have it for a little bit.
16 times, Credo. 16 times.
And then Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. What's funny about this is that they've both won the United States Championships this year for the first time in their careers. So that's kind of odd with their, you know, lengthy career and making them, what are they, the Grand Slam champions or whatever they call them now. So with that, it's kind of interesting. But at the same time, why go back and forth through Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton to where let Jeff Hardy do something? He has a big enough fan base for what he's doing right now. So, but then
you did it again. You did it again.
What did I do?
The Grand Slam champion. That's another one of those fucking taboo shits. You know what? They're not Grand Slam champions. You know why?
Why?
Because Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton have never held the Universal title.
There you go.
That's why. Fuck your Grand Slam championship bullshit. I'm tired of, well, back in the day. Wait. Did they win the European title? Either of them? No.
There you go.
Bret Hart did. Shawn Michaels did.
Well, if you want to get politically correct, the European title was unified with the IC title, which they technically held. So that means crossing all the dots. And
okay, cross that one off, Credo. You got me on that one, on a technicality. I'll give you that one, because that was well played.
There you go.
So that also means that technically Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton were also hardcore champions. Yep. There you go. But you know what? Still, they've yet to win that Universal title, so fuck you and your asshole bitches.
That's how good the match is that we're trying to talk about what championships they've held besides this one.
Right?
Next. But yeah, Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, I think we're still kind of break Bobby Lashley back into the WWE audience for at least the younger fans who haven't even seen him over here in the last few years. And I think, you know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, I think they kind of need something big. And I think beating these guys would kind of give them something like another chip on their shoulder, because I don't want to see a whole other authority angle on Raw.
I got a feeling if they lose this match, they kind of lose their heat. I really feel that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Braun doesn't need a win. He just won the fucking greatest Royal Rumble. He could pin Lashley or pin Strowman. I don't know. I don't know how you do
it. Don't worry, Bobby. We swear to God. Listen to me, pal. Even if you lose this match, I promise we're not going to make you a part of Titus Universal.
That's it. Well, backlash is happening, guys. Let us know what you think. AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Let us know who you think's winning this weekend. But joining us right now, one half of Coast to Coast, we have LSG joining us. All right, joining us today is a Ring of Honor superstar. He is one half of Coast to Coast. He is the Human Rocket, Leon St. Giovanni, better known as LSG. LSG, how's it going, man?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. Every interview pretty much starts kind of like this. I'm always interested, how did you get into this crazy world of pro wrestling? What made you want to join it? And maybe who did you start off training with?
Okay. Yeah, I can tell you all about that. So I just happened to end up at a Ring of Honor show back in 2005. I didn't know what it was, and it was in my hometown, so I went to go check it out. Ended up being Final Battle. I think the main event was Kenta versus Low Ki, and that show blew my mind, and it pretty much opened the door to this idea that maybe one day I could be a pro wrestler. So once I went to that show, my brother and I and my cousins, we would go to every Ring of Honor show that was around, or Jersey All Pro, which is nearby too. And we were just hooked. Fast forward a few years, I met a wrestler by the name of Eric Corvus, or formerly known as Corvus Fear. He was a tag team wrestler from Jersey All Pro, and he was kind of bringing guys into the business. And I told him I was interested, and that's how it happened.
Nice. Now, fast forward a little bit, though. You debuted in Ring of Honor in 2015, I believe, in the Future of Honor matches, kind of like, you know, the prospects of what the future will hold. Tell me, what was it like to join Ring of Honor at that time and just to be a part of these matches?
Well, for me, because I was such a fan growing up, it was a huge honor just to get any opportunity. And even though they were small at first, I knew that if I stayed the course and I kept training at the Ring of Honor dojo and doing the right things and helping out, I knew something would come of it. So Future of Honor was a great opportunity for me personally, and I tried to make the most of it. It started off, you know, just a few small things here, a couple of matches on TV, and ended up growing to something much bigger and led to the Top Prospect Tournament.
Well, definitely. And now, even fast forward to you formed Coast to Coast with Shaheem Ali. How did this become? And what were your thoughts at the beginning of this formation of the tag team?
Well, I met Shaheem at the Monster Factory, actually. And he was actually part of another tag team. I don't think we ever thought we'd end up together. But at Ring of Honor, they would pair us together, and we also did the Ring of Honor six-man tag tournament. Mm-hmm. And in that tournament, we started developing some chemistry, and I think we decided, you know what, hey, we trained in the same place. We worked with each other a lot, you know, a lot. We're really good friends. Let's give this a shot. You know, we're both here together. Let's do it. So that's really how it came about. After that tournament, we decided to put our efforts into becoming a tag team.
Nice. All right. Now, you mentioned, too, you're both alumni of the Monster Factory, which you're also the heavyweight champion of. Tell us a little bit about working at the Monster Factory, working, you know, just in general training there and then wrestling for them as well.
So I've been there for the last 5 years. And, you know, when I first walked in, I had some training already. I had about a year and a half of experience, from, you know, training at other places. And I don't think Danny Cage thought much of me at the time. And, you know, he said it himself, and that kind of lit a fire under me. And from that point forward, I told myself I would improve and prove him wrong and prove myself that I could do it. And started off from, you know, being in the bottom of the card and developing into a much better wrestler, better character, better person, better wrestler, and better, you know, performer and athlete. And so it's been a journey. It's taken a lot of work. It wasn't overnight, and I feel very privileged to be the champion. It, you know, comes with a lot of territory, you know, or it comes with a lot of, I guess, weight. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are depending on me to do well over there.
No, sure. Now, you're, I guess, what we can call as a high flyer. Is that fair to say? I mean, from 450 splashes, everything else that you do. My question to you, though, about being so-and-so high flyer, do you prepare for matches differently than others? I mean, some guys are going out there, they're wrestling, but they're not doing the stuff that you're doing. Is there something, I mean, as far as stretching or anything different, is there like a routine that you have to do maybe just to prepare your body for some of the stuff that you're about to do?
Well, I consider myself more of a hybrid, but I do, you know, bust out those high-flying moves every once in a while. So going into matches, I do a lot of stretching, a lot of core work, and a lot of work in my legs to make sure that, you know, I have the strength and agility to do all these things, you know, springboard or jump off the top rope or dive to the outside, things like that. So it's not just a day of the event preparation. This is, you know, day in, day out, the whole week.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So preparing for matches that may required me to fly. So, you know, Monday through Friday, I'm training at the Monster Factory, sometimes at the WrestlePro over here in Raleigh, New Jersey. And I'm at the gym a lot working on strengthening my body so I can handle that kind of stuff. And at the factory, it's actually pretty cool. We have a stunt pad, a crash pad, where you can practice these maneuvers. So I never do this without practicing, and all of it requires a lot of time and patience, because it doesn't come easy.
No, for sure. Yeah. Now, I mean, just for example, like a 450 splash, your first ever attempt at it. I mean, how long does it take to just, I don't know, perfect these kind of moves? I've never tried it. I don't think I'm ever going to try it, but I'm just curious, because I know some people out there, I think they don't appreciate. You know, they think, oh, he could just, you know, he just does that. You know, like, is there a time, like, you know, did it take you months or something to perfect? I don't know. Just some of these moves.
Well, funny story. When I had my first match, I decided, let me do the 450 splash. And I had only practiced it a handful of times. And I was able to do it in training. And I got a little cocky and went to go do it in my first match ever at my high school, of all places, in front of all my friends and family. And I completely missed the guy. So I was like, okay, it's going to take a lot more practice before I start doing things like this. So from that point on, that was part of my training regimen, just getting that move down and nailing it, make sure I could do it 100% of the time. And now it's, you know, different. It's a completely different story. Mm. It's, you know, it's second nature. It's like, you know, you build that muscle memory, and obviously, like I said before, you have to prepare yourself, prepare your body. And back then, when I first tried it, I was not ready. at all.
No, yeah, for sure. Now, you know, I always like to ask too, maybe as a professional wrestler, you're still a fan of wrestling. I mean, is there anything out there in the world of wrestling that maybe just excites you today, whether it be in Ring of Honor, outside of Ring of Honor, just certain things that are happening? I don't know. Is there anything for you as a wrestler that when certain things are happening, maybe like, wow, this excites you, whether it's a build-up to a match or, I don't know, just a generalized question about anything happening in the world of wrestling. Anything still out there that, you know, excites you?
Yeah, actually, the thing that's exciting me the most right now is the independent wrestling scene. It is thriving unbelievably right now. And if you're an independent wrestler, there's so many places for you to go, places to work, and there's money to be made. And I'm noticing that, you know, every weekend, it's just, it's booming. And WWE is a machine. And yes, a lot of us aspire to go there one day. But right now, we should take advantage of the scene. The independent wrestling scene is amazing right now. And that really excites me because right now I can work in Ring of Honor. I can work other places too when I'm not in Ring of Honor. So for me, that opens up a lot of you know, opportunities.
No, definitely. I mean, we're on the East Coast. I mean, you're from Jersey. I'm in New York, and we're kind of spoiled up here. I mean, there's a lot of promotions up in the Northeast for us. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening, and definitely the independent business is definitely thriving right now. But you speaking of Ring of Honor and being able to work other places, what are your thoughts on like Ring of Honor's relationship with like New Japan, for example, to where, you know, some talent can work for New Japan, then some New Japan talent will work for Ring of Honor. I wish kind of other companies would do this more. I know some others are kind of doing it, but I know Ring of Honor has probably been doing it the most, at least. How do you feel about that? Just like two different companies being able to share talent back and forth. That to me is exciting. That to me is like something just different, you know. It's just being able to use talents in multiple promotions without having to be, you know, oh, this guy can't go anywhere. He's mine or whatnot. How do you feel though about Ring of Honor to where the possibility, hey, New Japan might want to bring you guys in for a few shows? I mean, just the possibility about being able to do that.
Yeah, I personally love it. I've gotten to meet a lot of great wrestlers through this partnership that we have. And it's really cool, because right, Ring of Honor is not the only one doing it. I know Impact is doing it now too. They were doing work with Noah and I guess AAA. So it's really, really cool just to see how people are putting aside a lot of the BS and just trying to make the pro wrestling business thrive. Mm-hmm. There's so many amazing matchups and money to be made just by working with each other. I think people are realizing that, you know, making guys exclusive to certain places, it's just not the way to go. Mm-hmm. And so building partnerships with New Japan and even CMLL, for me, and I know Shaheem, we are extremely excited for the opportunity that could be there in the future.
No,
I would love to work with New Japan. I would love, you know, one of my goals in wrestling is to work in Japan. So when they send their guys over here, I'm trying my best to, you know, build a great relationship with those guys. I had the opportunity a couple summers ago to wrestle Gato and Yano from New Japan. So, although, you know, if I wasn't working in Ring of Honor, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. And Roppongi 3K, those guys are super hot right now. In Ring of Honor, we must have wrestled them 6 or 7 times. And without that relationship, that wouldn't have happened. And now I've got not only a great respect for those guys, but great friendship and, you know, a pretty awesome rivalry. So when they come back next week for the World of Worlds, I'm hoping, you know, maybe something will happen.
Sure. Tell me a little bit about tag team wrestling too. I mean, with your partner, Coast to Coast, you guys definitely work great together. You have that chemistry. Do you think a lot of guys who are tag teams, they need to have that chemistry with somebody else just to form a good team? Or do you think, you know, two guys can just be put together and just kind of feed off each other? I mean, does it, the guys, you have to kind of get along with each other. You have to have, you know, that chemistry at the end of the day to be a good team.
Definitely. I'm telling you, it's really, really hard to get thrown together with somebody and expect it to work immediately. Shaheem and I actually weren't ever planning to be a team, but because we were training together at the Ring of Honor dojo, we just saw an opportunity and decided to try it. And it didn't happen overnight. You know, it took a lot of work. Me personally, I was not a tag team wrestler. I didn't do a lot of tag team wrestling. So it took a little while for me to start picking things up. But luckily, I had that chemistry outside of the ring with Shaheem, you know, being a students of the Monster Factory in the dojo and just traveling together and things like that, and having a lot of the same interests outside of wrestling. We just get along really well and our personalities mesh really well. So the rest came, you know, a little slow, but it got there eventually.
Sure. Now, you know, we mentioned how the independent scene is kind of, pumping right now. I know everything's going great for everybody. But I think one of the biggest things that have happened in the last few years, which also seems great, is just the ability to stream stuff anywhere, from your phones to your tablets, to your TV and all that stuff, you know, with especially now Ring of Honor and their Honor Club, which just kind of debuted recently. Live streaming, guys get discounts, video on demand, you can even get special tickets, 50% off all Ring of Honor pay-per-views and so on and so forth. What are your thoughts about the Honor Club and just being able to have pretty much Ring of Honor at your fingertips anywhere you go now? Because, I mean, growing up for me, I was with the VHS tapes, man. We had the VHS tapes trading, and that's all we had. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have social media like that, but just the ability to where, you know, you guys could be beamed around the world anywhere, any place, and it's so much easier today. Can you tell me a little bit about, like, the Honor Club and just how, you know, good it is for everybody out there to just being able to watch Ring of Honor anywhere?
Yeah, I'd say it's a game changer. And not only are you able to watch live events, you can go back and look into archives and look at all the stuff that I have in my Ring of Honor DVD collection. You can watch it now, you know, on the streaming service. And it's really awesome. A lot of my friends and family who, you know, can't travel all over the country with me with my shows, they can now watch it. A lot of the fans who, you know, I mean, maybe couldn't collect every single event on DVD, now have the opportunity to watch all the time. And it's really awesome because we just did like 4 live events last month. And that's unheard of. I mean, Ring of Honor's never done something like that. So it's really, really cool to have back-to-back nights of live streaming. It just creates a lot of excitement. People love live wrestling. Yeah, it's fun to go back and watch old stuff, but there's like, for me personally, there's a rush when it comes to watching something that's live. So having that opportunity to wrestle live and have people watch you live is awesome. And it's not just Ring of Honor. We're seeing it all across the board, you know, the different networks and New Japan World. Even I was wrestling at the Monster Factory last week, and at the same time I was in Chikara where my girlfriend was wrestling. So it was like, it's just really awesome that everyone's, you know, on board with this idea of streaming.
No, it's definitely a game changer for everybody. And I think maybe a lot of the younger kids out there probably don't understand how awesome this is compared to what it was like years ago. So you guys are very lucky. They're very lucky out there today about this. So one more thing, though. I mean, you guys got a match coming up next week against the Kingdom, Coast to Coast versus the Kingdom. What do you have to say about the match coming up next week for Ring of Honor?
Yeah, well, we've crossed paths with them a couple times. And I think at the time that we did wrestle, we were at different stages in our development. You know, if you look at Kingdom now, they're one of the hottest factions in pro wrestling, in Ring of Honor. And those guys are awesome. You know, I'm not a big fan of them, but they're great in the ring. And Shaheem and I are ready. You know, I'm not going to back down. And I know they got a lot of tricks up their sleeve, and if Taven's around, you never know what's going to happen. Right. But TK Ryan and Vinny Arcega, the Horror King, we're ready. We're totally ready. We study everybody on the roster, and no one's off limits. Coast to Coast is on a roll right now. We haven't lost a match since December, and we don't plan on losing next week.
All right. Well, you know, LSG, man, where can everybody follow you on social media and all that?
So I got the same handle right across the board. It's at LeonStGiovanni, Leon St. Giovanni. It's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all the good stuff. Follow me on my journey. I'm constantly posting pictures throughout the week of my preparation and my travel and the events. A lot of fun stuff on there. Definitely get me on Twitter and Instagram, though. That's where I'm at, mostly.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We wish you nothing but the best. All right. Thanks again to LSG. Guys, Ring of Honor, thank you so much once again. See what happens with him in the next few weeks. Definitely looking forward to some of the matches coming up on their Honor Club. If you haven't had it, make sure you go subscribe because you get a lot more stuff than just the regular WWE Network. You get like discounts on tickets and stuff, Cooter. So a lot of fun stuff happening over at Ring of Honor.
You know what's great about that? We were actually talking about their streaming network, and if you buy the yearly subscription, you're literally paying $9.99 a month and you get the pay-per-views, but you have to pay for the full year. That's not really that bad of a deal.
No, for sure.
I mean, because I think they said it was $9.99 a month, but then it was a little bit more if you wanted the pay-per-views, but I think it was $120 for the year, which is $9.99. But, you know, they're getting all their money for the year up front. Plus, you get their video library. It's a great deal. I really think people need to check that shit out, man.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, it's like with WWE's thing, $9.99, you can back out anytime. And it's like, yeah, you kind of lose people. But if you get people in there for a year, at least they'll be committed for a year. And then you exactly. give them all those other benefits. And I think it's worth it. So definitely worth checking out. Now, Cooter, you know, we talked about this a little bit. The lack of the Universal Championship. Let's get into some bad booking here because
I don't even know what the Universal Championship is anymore, Credo. I see it like once every 2 or 3 months.
It's already outdated. It's interesting because, I mean, leading up to WrestleMania, everybody was saying Roman's going to get it. Brock's done. He's leaving. Roman's going to get it. And Brock won. All right. Well, here it is. Brock signed a new contract, I think just up until the Greatest Royal Rumble, and then Roman will get it. Well, we hit the Greatest Royal Rumble last week, and, you know, Roman's going to get it finally because, you know, the fans over there won't boo him, yada, yada, yada. And Brock won, Cooter. So Brock is still the Universal Champion, and there's no other match booked for him anytime soon. I think from people are saying he's going to surpass, and granted, this isn't the WWE Championship, it's the Universal Championship, but he's going to surpass CM Punk's record of 434 whatever days of holding a main title, making him one of the longest, you know, whatever, modern-day champions, WWE, longest reigning, yada, yada, yada.
That doesn't mean shit to me, Credo.
I know.
Why it doesn't mean shit to me? Because when CM Punk had that title, he was defending it once a month. Oh, he was sure. on TV, you know, every week. He was a workhorse champion, not a part-timer. Listen, and you know what? I'm going to sound like one of those guys who I despise right now, but it's gotten to a point where what is the rest of the roster going after? I get it. You got a chip on your shoulder over CM Punk. You want to fucking, you know, bury his fucking accomplishments because you just it annoys you. We had Demolition sued us, so we had to make the New Day champions for you know what I'm like?
I know,
seriously,
yeah.
You're holding grudges, and it's so shitty because you could have done it with somebody that you actually gave a fuck about.
Yeah, that's well
you know
put, yeah.
Now, I mean, you could have made somebody a superstar somehow, but you're going to waste literally over a year because you're afraid of losing Brock Lesnar. What are you afraid of? Terrible has Brock Lesnar been in the ring since his matches with Bill fucking Goldberg.
I know. Yeah, and I get it to where he's like that attraction, but at the same time, that attraction doesn't need a championship around his waist. I mean, I would be fine if Brock came and gone every so often and, you know, just did a few spots here and there. That's fine, but he doesn't need a championship around his waist doing it.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, like The Undertaker. The Undertaker comes once in a while, but he's not the champion. Like, if you had Brock Lesnar come once in a while, okay. But just, I feel like Raw right now is suffering because you have guys like Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, anybody else who's on the main roster over there. I mean, Kevin Owens was the second Universal Champion, and look what happened ever since he lost to Bill Goldberg. He's been playing, like, second fiddle to all these guys, and it's like, you had your, you know, you put your your money behind this guy, whatever, to be your champion. And then what, just so you can have Bill Goldberg hold it to lose it to Brock and what, you know, and like, what? Like, you have guys over there who should be the main champion.
Yeah, why wouldn't you have done that with Kevin Owens, who held that title after fucking Finn Balor had to relinquish it? I mean, you could have made Kevin Owens, like, that guy.
No.
You could have made him Brock Lesnar, but you don't... See, this is why Vince's dad was, in some ways, smarter than his son. Because he had Andre, and I mean, if you haven't seen the HBO documentary yet, shame on you. But the reason I'm bringing that up, he had Andre. And let me tell you, he would send him to other territories because he knew Andre being in as that attraction would not sell out arenas day in and day out in the same fucking territory.
Yeah.
And these people never put Andre in a title match because how would it be believable that somebody would beat him back for the title? You know what I'm saying? So we just use your attraction as an attraction. You don't need to fucking hold up the rest of your roster and your title on Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar doesn't need to fucking have a title. We can have him beat the fuck up out of anybody you want because it's believable. But we don't need to put the title on him, dude.
Now he's not even booked for this weekend, the first Raw versus SmackDown, or not versus, but you know what I mean, the most mixed shows, pay-per-view, Backlash, Raw and SmackDown. But, okay, he's not booked for this weekend. So now, after that, you have Extreme Rules, and then you have Money in the Bank, which, I don't know, do you think they're going to waste Brock Lesnar at one of these pay-per-views? I doubt it. I don't know. Something could change, but then after that, Cooter, you got Great Balls of Fire. I can't believe that's... I can't believe that's back.
Favorite.
And then, you know, SummerSlam.
As much as we made fun of that name, it was one of our favorite pay-per-views of last year because that had, you know what? That had Brock Lesnar's best match of the year on it. So and who was it against? Who was it against, Credo?
I don't know. James Ellsworth.
Samoa Joe.
No, for sure. I forgot about Joe.
Let's take a list of the guys that Brock Lesnar has faced in the last year, starting at Survivor Series all the way, he had Goldberg. He didn't get Kevin Owens, right? No, he didn't. He had Goldberg, Roman Reigns, God knows how many fucking times, Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe. There was a couple of fucking
Wasn't
the Big Show. There was was it a triple threat between?
Yes. It was some kind of. No,
either that or a fatal four-way.
We apologize because we're not Googling it, kids. We're just doing it off the top of our head, so bear with
us. Exactly. But I mean, I want to say it was Roman, Braun, and Samoa Joe in the same match. That probably sounds about right.
Because, I mean, like, when looking at all these pay-per-views, I'm like, Extreme Rules, Money in the Bank, Great Balls of Fire, SummerSlam. I figure he's going to probably hold that shit till SummerSlam. I mean, why lose it just at Extreme Rules or Money in the Bank or, you know, or whatnot? Granted, maybe you want to pull in some more viewers to watch it because Brock's on it, but if you're paying him however much money, I think you want to really make sure SummerSlam is going to be bigger than what it is or something. I don't know. So is that like a good end game for him? Are we going to finally see him lose sometime this year? Please know he's not going to hold it for another year. He cannot hold it till another Mania, right?
I don't know, Credo. I don't know. And this is why, like, literally, let me run down a list of the things that I've watched instead of wrestling this week.
All right.
Because this is how frustrating – Raw is frustrating because of that fact. And like, I like Brock Lesnar. I love Brock Lesnar. But, I mean, it's just who you're putting him against is not getting him great. Who has Brock Lesnar's best matches been? Samoa Joe, John Cena, Triple H. Those are the guys who actually got him to work decent matches. When Brock's facing somebody like Braun Strowman, he doesn't give a fuck. He's like, fuck Braun Strowman. That's not a big name to me. You know, I think he gets to pick and choose. But anyway, here's a list of things I would rather watch than Raw. You know what I did? Because I had a pretty light early day on Monday, so I got up pretty early. So I decided to binge watch some TV. I watched the Big E and Tupac thing that comes on after SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Unsolved?
Yeah.
Great. Because I binge watched. Fucking amazing. Loved it. I couldn't wait for after SmackDown because that was the finale this week. You know what else I watched?
What's
instead
that?
Of Monday Night Raw? I was up until like 4 o'clock in the morning watching this. What is it? Something Something Country. Is that documentary on Netflix? Do you know what I'm talking about that Indian cult that was up in Oregon?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I forget the name, though.
Wild, Wild Country, it's called. That's what it's called. if you like documentaries about crazy shit, like Making a Murderer, this is just as good. This is just as good. It's a fucking... How the fuck I've never heard about this in any form of mainstream media is beyond me. This is probably one of the most incredible stories that we've probably never heard about in our lifetime, Credo. You got to watch this. and this, to me, a boring documentary about a sex cult, to me, is more interesting than Monday Night Raw.
There you go. Well, if I could bring you back onto the Universal track, I want to mention, what's your end game, though, man? Where do you see this ending? And do you think Raw is going to get it back on the show anytime soon? Because
Do you know what I would love to do? This, for me, would be great. You gave Braun Strowman a belt. Let him fucking defend that belt every fucking week like it's the main title of the show. And then the, like, Brock Lesnar shows up. You're like, yo, get out of here. You're not
sorry,
even. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Take your, you want to be a champion, defend your champion as much as I defend my championship, right? And just look at him like, you know, I don't even want to wrestle you. You're not worth it. Like, make him, like, make Brock Lesnar the guy who's doing the chasing.
Yeah.
No, honestly, that's how you get out of this. Like, make him so devalued that now he has to chase people with the title. Yeah, you have to face me. No, I don't have to face you. You're just Brock Lesnar. You're not important. I'd rather face Braun Strowman for a green belt. No, like, seriously, that is exactly what I would do. And then he has to go up against Braun Strowman. He's like, oh, you know what? I don't care about your Universal title. I'll put my belt on the line, though. And then fucking he just beats it and let Braun get that fucking title, and now he's walking around with two belts.
Well, this is what's funny to me, because I feel like pro wrestling is the easiest thing to do in the world, like whether you're a booker or whatnot, because all you got to do is listen to the fucking crowd. And right now, Braun Strowman is that guy. No matter what he does, whether it's silly, corny, you know, whatever, everybody loves him.
Yeah, you got a fucking badass superstar who the fans love. He's that big guy that Vince likes. He's huge. He's strong. He can talk on the mic. He's funny. He's everything that Roman Reigns isn't. But let's put him in tag matches with 10-year-olds and Bobby Lashley. He's more over than my golden boy. Now we're – like, I hate the word buried too. That's another one of my words. Fuck that shit. All right? Because you're not buried if you're on TV every week, but you're being put in stupid programs. Like Dolph Ziggler, people are like, you're burying Dolph Ziggler. No, he's on TV every fucking week in a match. That's not buried. Buried is, but he loses every week. Yeah, but he's on TV getting a check every week.
That's it. But it's like this – every show – since they did the brand split, I mean, AJ Styles isn't going back and forth to Raw and SmackDown. So it's like you can't just have the Intercontinental Championship on Raw every week and that's it, or just the tag title. Like, you need something on there for some of these guys to be chasing after, doing something with. But Cooter, I mean, no matter what happens or when it happens, whether it's next month or fucking SummerSlam – who's it going to? And for the love of God, if they put it on fucking Reigns, I'm just going to fucking punch a baby. Because it's like, you didn't want to put it on him at Mania. You didn't want to put it on him on the Rumble. Why are you going to put it on him now? Kind of a thing. And it's like, nobody cares about that anymore. Nobody cares about him being that champion. So, I mean, I want to see Braun Strowman carry that or beat Brock. And I got a question for you too after this, but I mean, who'd you give it to? Is there anybody else besides Roman Reigns that you want to see carry that, like, be the next champion?
What do you mean, anybody but Roman Reigns? I don't want to see Roman Reigns as champion.
Well, I mean, I would love
for, like, Roman Reigns to just, like, I don't know. And I hate wishing ill on people, but I really do. I feel bad because I don't like to be like, I hope you break your leg. But in this case, like, Roman, break your fucking leg. Like, I don't want to see – like, break your femur so I don't have to see you for at least, like, a year. If ever again. Like,
hey.
It's like, listen, you had 4 years.
We the main let events,
you,
I know.
Yeah, we let you – not just 4 years of the main event at Mania. but like 4 years of us being force fed, you being called the big dog, the fucking gayest shit ever. Big dog. Fuck off. Like, that is terrible, Credo. Do you think Michael Cole has gotten to a point where, like, when he's saying the phrase big dog, he's like gotten two fingers to his head, like mocking the like gun to his head thing?
Probably.
It's like, oh, it's the big dog. Meanwhile, he's like pointing the gun at his head, like, oh, God.
I know. Well, we can't ask Mike, but I'm going to ask you. Do you think Brock's going to end up going back to the UFC in some sort? And if he does, you're going to have to get that championship off him, right? I mean, you don't want him to. Vince would never allow him to go over there as the champion, and especially if he fucking loses, right?
Oh, you know, that would be interesting. I don't know, man. Like,
he's never going to. I don't think Brock's going to carry that on TV. You know what I mean? I don't think he's not that guy.
Here's the thing. Like, there's really no good fights for Brock right now. When Brock was in the UFC, we've said this time and time again, you know, he was a big fish in a little pond. It wasn't a very, you know, talent-filled division. Dude, the heavyweight division in the UFC right now is stacked. The champion is a monster, and he's done nothing but face monsters. Mm. I mean, he's cleaning out the division to the point where we have to put a guy who's the light heavyweight champion in the next match against him. Mm. The light heavyweight champ is somebody who used to fight at heavyweight and is now going for the heavyweight title as also the light heavyweight champ. And this is like the most intriguing match that I've seen, because if it's anybody who's going to give Stipe Miocic a fucking run for his money, it might be this guy. But this is why you're saying, well, why aren't you talking about Brock and you're talking about everybody else in the division, is because that division is just that much better than Brock Lesnar. I mean, when he had that fucking comeback for that one fight, we put him up against another guy who's pretty much a sideshow. Mark Hunt is looked at as like a knockout artist who doesn't have a very well-rounded game. He's a very one-dimensional fighter. And if Brock got hit, he was going down. But if Brock got this guy down, the fight's over. There's nobody left like that in the UFC for Brock Lesnar to fight, in my opinion. I think anybody like even a Francis Ngannou, who's got like the hardest recorded punching power in like history, would destroy Brock. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't see anybody that Brock is going to be able to just take down and have their way with.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm at the point to where it's like, come on, I just don't care anymore. Like, I like Brock Lesnar. I just don't care what they're doing with him with this championship, to where just get it off him. Like, it doesn't mean anything anymore because it's never seen. So it's like, if you want to put some prestige behind this championship, let fucking people wrestle with it and let them, you know, have matches for it and fucking fight for it, not just fucking Roman Reigns 20,000 times later. So, Cooter.
Spoiler alert. Roman Reigns doesn't win the Universal title, but he defeats Thanos and saves the universe.
That's no better way to go out with that, guys, ladies and gentlemen. So, well, tell us what you think. AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com. Tweet us. Facebook us. All that fun stuff.
Roman Reigns versus Drax Destroyer, bitches. Yeah.
WrestleMania. Guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
And don't tug your peckers, bitches.